The gang on Maximum Rock and Roll. This is Maximum Rock and Roll. I'm Tim Yohannan, and that was Discharge, A Look at Tomorrow. And coming up in a few minutes will be a discussion with Bill Graham. Right now we're going to start the set off with a bunch of stuff out of the Washington, D.C. area, which has a really intense punk scene going on. We're going to lead it off with the Bad Brains. We'll be right back. right, three songs out of the D.C. area. The Bad Brains doing Pay to Come, and then a new band, S.O.A. They have a 10-song, 7-inch EP out. It's called Gonna Have to Fight. And then from the Teen Idols, Deadhead, all from Washington, D.C. Okay, we have Bill Graham here. And Bill, maybe you should tell people why it was that you wanted to come on up here today.
I think there are certain statements that I made, and one of the things that people in the press have an advantage of is that they can make certain statements in newspapers or radio, on television, and there's not much you can do about it. And every once in a while, I think it's just good to face these people, or face you, and if anybody has anything to say while I'm here, I think that's the best way to discuss, as in this case, music and the music scene. Statements are made which make me feel that we are considered the enemy, like the opposition, rather than perhaps competition. But it's that the accusers are always the oppressed ones, and they're not given an opportunity to conduct what they wish to conduct. In this case, it's been prevalent about the same subject matter, which is music. So I think perhaps we ought to talk about these matters.
All right.
I think this is in very bad taste.
He's holding up a flyer advertising this discussion here, which shows an octopus with dollar signs all around it, holding on to various things like Old Waldorf, Warfield Theater, KUSF, BAM, 60s, youth culture, and various other things. And I guess one reason I would say that you are somewhat singled out for attack is that part of the punk, let's say, reaction was to what 60s culture had deteriorated into, that you came, your rise in fame and fortune came during the 60s, came through the ballroom scene, which you were one of the innovators of, the whole 60s concert circuit system is partly very much you, and that punk was a rebellion against that and said, hey, that is dead. The idea, and this goes back to something that I think the hippies had initially advocated, was no separation between audience and performer, same community, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they had saw this music, you know, the big stages, the superstars, nothing in common with what those people were singing about and the reality of these people in the audience's lives. And saw you as a perpetrator of that almost sterilization process, packaging, commodity, here's the next big star, here's the next big star. And while I think it's unfair to totally single you out, you are in effect, though, one of the prime movers in what that had essentially become.
I think that's one of your grave problems and one of the great mistakes. If you go into business and you have a 2,000-seat facility in our industry, and the acts that play your facility get to be popular, and they're offered money to play bigger places, you have a choice of going with them to a bigger place if you're a good producer or if they like your work, or you can pass. And I've said too many years, if my saying no to going to a larger facility mean that they would stay in a smaller facility, I would still be working in smaller buildings. There's never been a time that I can think of, that I can remember, that I wanted to go to a larger facility. And I think what's hard to for anyone to understand, that the reason groups left the Fillmores in the late 60s and early 70s is because someone else said, why don't you go to Madison Square Garden, to the Doors, or somebody may have said to the Kinks, why don't you, or to Eric Clapton, or to Jimi Hendrix, why don't you play Oakland Coliseum, or why don't you go to the Cow Palace? Now, if I said no, they would have gone there with somebody else. So I had a choice. And perhaps in the long run, I may have made the mistake of succumbing to that. This is the largest misconception that I can think of in the music industry, that people think that the promoter or the producer has the power to put groups where he wants to put them.
Right.
That's the group.
Right. It's a two-way street.
Having the chance, having the choice in any city of playing five shows in a 2,000-seater or one show in a 10,000-seater,
right.
They choose that because what you will doubt, I doubt if you would ever believe that some years from now, the majority of the people that you champion, and I think many of them deserve your championing them, will realize that they are no different than I am and most people are. That they want to spend more time once they make some money and once they achieve some recognition for their art, that they want to spend their time with their family, with their loved one, with their friends, and aren't that much involved with an attempt to change the society that they don't like.
It's understandable to me that people generally do, quote-unquote, sell out. But I feel like, and I, this is one reason that I think you're up here, is that I have been saying, no, you don't have to do that. That you don't have to go that route. There's a lot of pressure on you to do that. And one thing that disturbs me, in a sense, about you is that I think the more musicians or bands or whatever that do, quote unquote, sell out, will tend, in a sense, to justify your feeling about what you've done.
I feel good about my involvement here. I do not feel good about certain, let's call them not extremely talented groups, playing large facilities where people from the surrounding Bay Area come in, put down their 10, 15 bucks, they rant and rave and let off some energies, the group leaves town. The kids go back to Hayward and Fremont and Palo Alto, and life goes on. I'm not too proud of that. But if we didn't do that, somebody else would. Now, all I can do on my end is, what do I do with mine? How do we run the show? And what do I do with what's left over?
But do you think that's a justification? In other words, saying, well, if I didn't do these big shows, someone else would? I mean,
In and of itself, no, it isn't. Not enough. But it's hard for me to sit here and tell you that is justified without me going into some personal matters about the company, which I don't want to sit and do a commercial for the company.
Well, okay, but and it does relate to, let's say, you know, having a payroll to meet and,
yes,
and stuff like that. But to me, that's not very much different from the arguments
line.
that big corporations use, or even the mafia, for instance, who would say, well, if we don't run numbers, someone else will. If we don't do the smack thing, someone else will. And therefore, they do
it. But we don't run numbers, and we don't sell smack. But I think what you might want to do is come into the company and see how it's run.
No, I'm saying that the there's a moral equivalent in that it's something that you just admitted you aren't you don't believe in.
No, I don't. I think it would be nicer if many talented artists, would play five nights in a 3,000-seater. As opposed to one night in the 15,000-seater.
Part of my personal antagonism towards you is that I feel, in a sense, that what not just you alone, but the whole business, the effect that the business has upon a counterculture is, over the long run, a very negative one. That while maybe you can rationalize that what you're doing is good for the community or whatever, I sort of see it as a destructive element in that it almost beheads the communities. Mm-hmm. Now, I feel it's a two-way street. It takes the bands, you know, the bands who are willing to go that route. If the big promoters and the big labels and move in, we're going to see a withering of the small clubs, we're going to see a withering of the small record labels, of the independent distribution of records, of the fanzines, of the close nature of the scene. If we're going to keep an environment where the music can grow and regenerate and change in and of itself and not become stagnant, which I think in a lot of ways is what happened in the 60s, that once these bands became part of the corporate scheme, they no longer had this regeneration happening in terms of contact with the community.
I totally agree with you.
Okay. So, from a moral stance, I guess what I'm advocating in a sense is that if you have a commitment to the arts, or even if you don't necessarily like punk music, which I believe you do not really like.
Some, not all of it.
That as someone who cares about this, about art and a culture being able to grow outside of corporate control, that the best thing that you could do and the Stone could do and these other people who are involved in bidding wars, which are forcing up ticket prices, which are making these bands, having it go to their heads where now they think they can get a lot more and they will demand a lot more, and the music is being removed from its native environment, the not just even the smaller clubs, but there are larger halls that these bands could play at with independent producers who come out of this community. You feel like this is the real McCoy. There are no bouncers. It gets wild, it gets crazy, but that's what it's about. That's what punk is about. It's not a controlled thing. It doesn't matter that the sound system isn't great. It doesn't matter that everything doesn't go off split-second timing. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if somebody gets hurt.
If people get hurt, and I think given the incredible amount of potential for violence like at these shows, mm-hmm. there's a lot less actual people getting hurt than you would get at a country and western bar or a Giants game mm-hmm. or a heavy metal show.
You seem to forget I'm not opposed to anything you're
okay.
saying.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that as someone who cares about this, I would love to see you and the Stone get together and say, let's leave this music alone. Let's stay out of this music. Let's not get involved with putting on this kind of stuff. In fact, let's even go so far as to help some of these independents if they have troubles with the city getting permits, or if booking agents call you, refer them. But try and keep some kind of growth on within this community.
When you say what we do, are you saying raising the ticket prices or putting
them into
the
larger halls? That's partially it. Also, moving into an area of music, first of all, that you don't care about, essentially. You don't like it.
How do you
know
that?
To me, it's somewhat apparent that you don't appreciate the anarchy and the craziness of this music.
Anarchy?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm talking about disrespect.
That isn't disrespect to spray paint. What's disrespectful about...
Wait a minute. You don't think it is disrespectful to take private property and do with it what you want to?
In that sense, no. If you're going to...
This is a wall on the outside of a building, and you think it's funny? It isn't funny.
Yeah, I think it's totally... I think the more graffiti we see in this culture, the better. That what's happened as a result of the 70s is a deadening of people. And here has come a very rebellious group of people saying, wake up. Wake up. Jump. Move. Get off your butts. Start thinking. Don't just do things like you were doing it before.
And that's how you get the message out?
That's part of it, for sure.
That's a sad commentary.
I don't believe so at all. And I think that probably most people that, you know, are into this totally feel that way. It's an expression. It's a political expression of sorts. And it's saying, hey, everything is screwed. Everything is awful. It isn't good. It isn't getting better. It's getting much worse. And it's going to keep getting worse.
I agree.
And they attack. Now, when you're young and you attack in lots of ways, sometimes not so formalized, but at least these kids are out there saying, hey, man, this is all messed up. you represent an established thing, part of the establishment, as liberal as you, you know, wish to say you are still, in a sense, and just by what you indicated, you essentially are not rebelling anymore, and you feel put off by one of the expressions of this rebellion.
What do you mean when you say, Bill, you don't rebel anymore? What do you think is different in me today than it was 15 years ago?
I think that in a lot of ways, you were a well-intentioned person initially when you came out of the mime troupe and started promoting shows. I think maybe you felt ripped off by a lot of the bands and stuff. I think you've gotten tougher. You had a lot of hard knocks. And in certain ways, through the course of doing business, and as much as you feel that you do it in an ethical manner, I think there are a lot of times when maybe you don't, and where you've gotten hard, and maybe you've rationalized things, maybe you've gotten, and this is, I'm also older, but maybe you've gotten older, and you don't quite see it the same way.
Oh, amazing. I don't think I've hardened at all. I think I've become a soft, nostalgic slob, and I'm much softer than I should be, and especially in my business dealings.
Well, all
over
right.
the years. It's gone the other way around.
Okay. I did a real lot of research for this, talking to a lot of people. There is an incredible amount of people who are very much afraid to have their names attached to something. And when I got information from those sources, and I don't know why they're scared, but...
It's a shame.
Right, but they are of you. I'm wondering why you are that interested in this music, because given that you are not crazy about it.
You keep saying that.
Well, tell me what your favorite bands are. What are your favorite local punk bands? What do you really like?
The local bands. Of all the bands that I like, I wouldn't say they're among my favorites, no.
Who?
Any of the local bands.
Well, if you like this music, there's a real amazing variety of it here in San Francisco around the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Bands are here all the time playing. If you like the music, then if you have an appreciation for it, you must then know what
there's
some of your favorite bands are.
X I like. Romeo Void. I saw at the club that I liked. Some of the English, I like U2. I don't like the Plasmatics.
How about local?
I don't see too many local bands, and I leave that pretty much up to Ken and Queenie and the other people in the company.
Bill, I wish you could be straight with me at least.
What'd
on
I just
this,
say?
That essentially, to me, if you did like this music, you would know about the music. In other words, in the 60s, here's the difference between you in the 60s and you now. In the 60s, you knew all the local bands. You had knowledge of and dealings with, on an intimate level,
you know, what I wanted, Tim, if I wanted to, I could have come here, memorized a dozen names.
Yeah, of course.
And wired you up and down.
Right.
But in the 60s, what I was mainly concerned about at that time was to find groups that played hopefully decent music, had some sort of a statement to make, hopefully a sociological statement and a musical statement, and then bring in other music that the people didn't expect to hear and introduce them to, a Miles Davis, a Yusuf Lateef, or some non-rock.
Right.
The music business and the scene is totally different today, and I think what you fail to understand that we are in, you may not like the word, We are in the world or the business of music and presenting live attraction. What you would like us to do is to go away. Now, if we went away, there would be other professional producers, just as there are in Boston, as there are in Washington, as there are in Philadelphia. Now, for some reason or other, you think, well, Bill is old. He's not interested in this music. Why don't they put him in a rest home?
And what, no, I'm not
and
what, saying
what
that
Bill
at all.
Says
I'm
is,
not saying that at all. There's a very big difference between going to a show that you put on in terms of the overall atmosphere and a show that the independents put on. And it is that difference which makes for the difference between enjoyment or not enjoyment. That the overall feeling of people, sentiment of people who go to shows that you've either put on at the Fox Warfield or Kezar, or...
Are you saying that the majority feel as you feel, or the minority?
Majority of people that are into this kind of music feel very much alienated from the surroundings they go to in your shows. And I think it is because you are applying, through your organizational expertise, an aesthetic which belonged to this other music. And what I'm saying is, yes, Bill, stay away from this music because you are not doing it justice. Do the thing that you know over there, the music that you know, that you have brought along, but leave this alone. My opinion is, preface this,
right,
that you have gotten so much into the conceptualization of presenting, Bill Graham presents this music, or this music, or this music, and what you've lost touch with is the culture that this music belongs to. This is not just another prepackaged creation by Warner Brothers or somebody else that's come along. This is still an organic process that's happening. But what happens when business runs into this organic process is it tends to disrupt it and sterilize it and package it, and that makes it much safer, much easier to produce, and the machine rolls on. But this is a human culture, folk culture, whatever you want to call it, which a music is part of.
I'm totally in agreement with
you. No, but you just rejected. You sat here and trashed all the a whole realm of area that is part of that culture. People painting on walls, people throwing beer cans, people diving off stages, people
Yes, and you can hurt people.
But then if you do not like it, stay away from it.
I don't respect it. I think it's immoral and inhuman.
Ah, OK.